we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and these three are equal in all their attributes. As God is eternal, so Jesus is eternal. As God is creator, Jesus is creator. Each of the members of the Godhead have a different appearance. That is, the Spirit is invisible and lives in our heart. Jesus was visible, and he looked like every other human being on the face of the earth. Two eyes, two ears, one mouth, a beating heart. When you cut him, he bled. When he walked in the hot sun, he got tired, he sweated, and he needed something to drink. Jesus became flesh. The eternal God became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, to us, this is a wonderful thing. To us today, it really isn't that difficult a concept that God became a human being and dwelt among us, because we've had 2,000 years of teaching that, and there's an awareness of that. But when Jesus actually walked on the face of the earth, this message that God had come down to the earth, and even though someone looked like a basic human being, they weren't. They weren't just a human being, they were also God. As the creeds say it, very God of very God, and very man of very man. That is, he was together, altogether a man, he was altogether God. It's a mystery to be sure, but to the person who saw Jesus grow up, to the people who observed him, when Jesus starts to make claims of divinity, it stirs them. And that comes to full fruition today in our reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 16 through 29, where we'll be discussing the fact that in this passage, Jesus clearly defines himself as equal with God. As the book of Philippians states by the writing of the Apostle Paul, he said about Jesus, he did not think it was robbery to be equal with God. That is, it was not wrong for him to say he was equal with God. And here's an instance in the gospel account of that being seen. Later on, in fact, that seems to be the major theme of the book of John as opposed to all the other gospel accounts. That's his main feature, the divinity of Jesus Christ, how he is divine. I and the Father are one. That comes from the Gospel of John. And so it is that we'll see that in our passage of Scripture today. We begin in the middle of the chapter, John 5 in verse 16. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now this is a verse that I'm using to bridge last week's lesson with this week's lesson. And when I say last week's lesson, I realize I made a gap in our preaching and skipped over for the sake of Thanksgiving. And I'll probably do the same thing at Christmas time. I will probably have a few holiday messages that happen there. So it's really been 2 weeks since I posted a sermon on this site regarding the fifth chapter of John. But when I did that 2 weeks ago, it was the story of Jesus healing the man who was by the pool of Bethesda. And it just happened that that was done on the Sabbath day, thus referring to in verse 16, he had done these things, healed the man on the Sabbath day. And he told him, take up your bed and walk, which was telling him he should act. And so from that moment on, they're angry at him for breaking the Sabbath. So far, that's all that it has caused them to be angry. We're going to add to the list of things that made them angry as we continue our story. But this is where we begin. We begin with them telling us that they're angry because were willing to persecute Jesus because he was, in their mind, a Sabbath breaker. So, this is how Jesus responds to their persecution. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, that is, the Father works on the Sabbath day. Now, whether or not you think that means Saturday or Sunday, now, in most of evangelical Christian service, we worship on the first day of the week, but we do it every 7 days. And so we often call that the Christian Sabbath. It's not the official Sabbath that the Jews celebrate, which was Saturday. We celebrate on Sunday, but we do so with the same concept of a day of rest and a day of worship and a day of doing good things. And that last part of a day of doing good things is because of what Jesus teaches us in this lesson. Now, when he says, my Father worketh hitherto, regardless if you're thinking Saturday or Sunday, it rains on Saturdays, and it rains on Sundays. The sun shines. The air is fit to breathe on both of those days. That is, God answers prayer on Saturdays and Sundays. God does a lot of wonderful things on the Sabbath day. It is not the totality of his work, but there are some things that God just does because they're good things to do on the Sabbath day. And so, as far as Jesus was concerned, he says, you know, healing is a good thing, and it doesn't matter if it's a Sabbath or not, I'm going to heal. And someone who has been healed, they need to show that they had been healed by walking, even though it's a Sabbath day. And because they had a bed, that's just the reality of it all. They had to carry the bed. Now, if they weren't lame to begin with and didn't have to have a beggar's bed to sleep in by the Pool of Bethesda, then there wouldn't be any bed to carry. But the fact that he's carrying the bed actually shows how much he has been healed. He's not just strong enough to carry his own body. He's strong enough to carry the bed he used to sleep in. And this gave praise to God. And Jesus said, I did that. Yes, I'm not ashamed having done this on the Sabbath day. My Father works on the Sabbath and does good things for you, and I'm going to do good things for you. And the reason is, I want to be like my Father. Now, he didn't say our Father. He said my Father. And the people who were listening to him realize, boy, we don't just have a Sabbath problem. We have a blasphemy problem. Now, that they were wrong in both counts, but that's what they're thinking. We have a blasphemy problem, and here's why. It's blasphemous for a human being to proclaim that they are God, with one exception, of course, and that is that Jesus can proclaim it because he is God. And so in verse 18 of our text, it says, therefore the Jews sought to more to kill him. That is, they were already angry. Now they're angrier. The Jews sought the more to kill him because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also, that is, in addition to that, also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. That's the key. And that's where we get our title from today. Equal with God. That's what they thought he was saying. And he was saying that. They got it. They got what he was saying, but they just didn't believe it. They didn't believe that he was God. And so now he's going to take some teaching and basically speak of their jeopardy in the wrath of God for the rejection of who he is. Verse number 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them. Now, the them here are the people who were not believers. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, without a question, this is the absolute truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son, meaning himself, Jesus, can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. That is, in one sense, what I do is what God would do because, of course, he is God. And so we are doing things together. I worked on the Sabbath day. I healed on the Sabbath day because God works on the Sabbath day and heals on the Sabbath day. For whatsoever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Whatever God does, I do. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus is the express image of the heavenly being. He is exactly what God is. So if you want to know how God loves, look how Jesus loves. If you want to know how God forgives, look how Jesus forgives. If you want to know what righteousness is, look at the life of Jesus. So, God heals, Jesus healed. God works miracles of goodness in addition to healing. There are other kinds, like feeding the 5,000. He had compassion on them because they were hungry. That would be a work of a miracle, but for goodness sake, that wasn't involved with healing, but rather meeting daily needs. He makes alive spiritual. God takes and touches our heart. God always opens up the heart. Well, Jesus opens up the hearts. He forgives sin. God forgives sin. Jesus forgives sin. And he makes alive literally. That is, the power of God the Father raises people from the dead. When Jesus comes again, he will speak and the dead will be raised. And when he was still on the earth, a foreshadowing of that, he stood before the grave of Lazarus and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And by the power of Jesus' name, Lazarus came forth. Life came from Jesus Christ. Why? Why did he do this? So that we might know that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The one who created all things was made flesh and dwelt among us. And what you know that God does, you can also see in the ministry and in the life and the continued ministry, meaning that Jesus still has a work to do. He's coming again with a glorious coming, and the graves will open, which he'll speak of in these passages. He does that. Jesus does that. And we're going to learn about those things now. Verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. That is, why does Jesus do what he does? Because God sent him to do them. And that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And he appears in the flesh, and because that's the methodology of Jesus. He appears in the Spirit, that's the methodology of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it is confusing, and admittedly, but the Bible tries to, you know, what makes it confusing is the Bible is trying to make it simple for us to understand, because we can understand eyes. It's hard for us to understand a being that sees without eyes, but so it's easier when we see, well, Jesus had eyes. And God sees, and God has an arm, God, you know, and so on. So sometimes it's good for us to realize that God became a flesh, and the power of God was seen in him. A fleshly being is what I meant to say. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. He will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. That is, in addition to what I was able to do with this man, you're going to see even greater things. You're going to see the dead rise. I mean, he knows what he's going to do. This is John 5. The story of Lazarus takes place in John 11. Jesus knows that's coming. He says, you're going to see greater works than this. If you were impressed with this, wait till you see me do that. Wait till you see me forgive someone's sins, and you'll be all angry about that. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. That is, what we're doing here in these verses is saying, God heals, I heal. The Father quickeneth. Remember the story in the Old Testament of Ezekiel and the bones? Ezekiel sees the valley of dry bones, and the voice comes and says, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, you know God, you know the answer to that. Because Ezekiel realized that, yes, God can make dead bones rise. He didn't know if God was going to, but he did know that God could. As the Father raises up the dead even and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And this quickening will be of two kinds, which we're going to see. There's a quickening of our spirit inside of our heart. And so when we are born again, it is described as going from dead in sins to being alive in Christ. And that spirit that has been made alive and born again in you, it never dies. And we're going to hear language like that in just a little bit. And we hear it repeated in other places as well. The quickening power of Jesus Christ. And he judges at judgment day. Not only does he quicken, he judges. And this is mainly said on their behalf because they are in a state of rebellion and disbelief. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now that is not an absolute by saying God never makes a judgment. It is saying the final judgment will be through Jesus Christ. God will be there. It's the throne of God, but it's also the throne of the Lamb. And in reality, no one gets past the gate of heaven without Christ verifying, saying, I died for them. My blood's upon them. Their sins are forgiven. I have given them eternal life. They're in the Lamb's book. And so Jesus is the one who comes. We'll see Jesus again. He's coming in the clouds one day. And this has been committed to Jesus. That's part of his role. That when the Godhead divided up all the work of salvation, and each of them have a part in it, the Father chooses, the Spirit quickens, Jesus provides the sacrifice, and those kind of things. All those things are divvied out, and one of the things that's going to happen on Judgment Day, Jesus will be there. And they need to know that. You're rejecting me, Jesus says. I'm going to be a judgment day. You better pay attention to the fact that I am equal with God. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. You can't say, I love God, but I hate Jesus. Or I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. You really can't separate them. They're equal. He that honoreth not the Son, Jesus says, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. That is, if you say, I believe God, but I don't believe Jesus, the God you do believe is not the God of the Bible. It is a limited God. And there's more to it. And so it's important that we understand. It's a package. If you want to honor God, you got to honor Christ. Always. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. This is what we call a assurance verse. That is, if you want to know, have I entered into eternal life? Do I have eternal life? Have I passed from death to life? Have I left the wages of sin, which is death? And am I in life? And the answer is, well, do you believe? That's one of the evidence. That's just the main evidence. It's the most easily seen evidence among us. There's more than one evidence. There's the love. Do you love your neighbor? Do you love God? Do you have a desire to keep his commandments and so on? Those are all evidences that the Spirit of God is in you. But to believe, how can you believe if your eyes are blind to truth? How can you hear the truth if you are deaf to the truth and so on? So by being born again, our eyes are open, our ears are open, our heart's been changed, and only those who have had that happen are among the believers. So he that believeth has everlasting life, that's not going to come into condemnation. John in his gospel and John in his epistles loves to talk about salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. It's a great subject. And one of the reasons I love preaching through the Gospel of John is to be able to say these wonderful things, these wonderful promises that are found, these wonderful assurances that he has already saved you. You're not going to be condemned. Go live for him now. That is, we're not good so that we can get saved. We're good because we are saved, and we desire to praise him. You know, the man did not take up his bed and walk in order to get healed. He took up his bed and walked because he was healed by the power of God. All the miracles of Jesus Christ are foreshadowings of the greatest miracle of all, where he calls us from death to life. You have passed from death to life. There are two resurrections in this passing from death to life. And I've already mentioned it again. The spirit part gets resurrected, and that's when we're born again. And one day, the body will be resurrected, and that'll be the resurrection day. One happens while we live on the earth. That's right now. That is. And the resurrection day is to be. That's future. So Jesus is going to speak of two resurrections in these next few words, and I want you to be listening, and you might want to reread this with the Bible in front of you, be able to see John chapter 5, that there are two, and there's also two in the book of John of chapter 11. We'll see that in just a second. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus says, this, now we're in John 5, 25. The hour is coming, and now is, and that's important, now is. That is, as Jesus was talking, 2,000 years ago it was true. The hour is coming, now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. That is, it's not, Jesus is no longer a promised Messiah, he is the Messiah present. And that's why it says, and now is. The Messiah came, the Word was made flesh. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That is, God opens their hearts, and they understand, and they believe, and they're living in him. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. Now, I mentioned John 11. Jesus came to the graveside of Lazarus. And his sisters are grieving because they're buried their brother, and he's already in the grave several days. And Jesus says to these sisters, I am the resurrection. This is John 11, 25 and 26. I am the resurrection, Jesus says, and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And, of course, that we're referring to, you know, Lazarus, who was in the grave. He's dead, and then he's going to live. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Well, wait a minute. How can we expect to be dead one day and be raised, and here be told in the very same sentence, or the same group of sentences, verse 25 and 26 of John 11, whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And here's what it means. When we die, our spirit, the inside of us, the life inside of us, the new life inside of us, the born-again life inside of us, goes to God. Just like at Jesus, when he died. When Jesus died, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Death is a separation of the spiritual life that's in you going to heaven where God gave you life, and the body which is left behind. And the separation of those two things is what we call physical death. So a part of you never dies. And that's what Jesus could say to the thief on the cross. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Not 3 days later when we raise from the dead, but rather right now, today. Because my spirit's going to heaven and your spirit's going to heaven, thief on the cross. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. He never died in that sense. Jesus didn't cease to exist even though he died. That he when he said, Father, I commend my spirit to you, God took his spirit back. Okay, John 5, 27 and 29. We leave John 11 and now go back to our story. And hath, meaning God hath given him, Jesus, authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. So, you see the difference? The hour is coming and now is when they hear the voice of God and they live. That's your new birth. Now, the hour is coming, still future. It's still coming. The hour is coming. Doesn't say, and now is. It says, it's coming, in which all that are in the graves, meaning the future day, shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. There's coming a day where everyone is raised from their graves. And there's a separation. It's seen in the parable of Jesus with the wheat and the tares. It's seen in the sheep and the goats. There's a separation. There's a judgment. There is a statement. All right, everyone who's good. Now, you say, wait a minute. There's none good. There's none that has done the righteousness. No, Jesus did. And Jesus gives us his righteousness, and so the good that we have is the righteousness of Christ. And we claim his righteousness is his part of his precious gift, but it's still the good. And if we were left without that righteousness, we'd have no righteousness of our own, and we would be the evil. And one has eternal life, and one has damnation. Huge difference. They shall come forth, they that have done good. You see, they're in Christ. Therefore, they are proclaimed to be good. We share in the resurrection of life, the resurrection of damnation. Second Thessalonians mentions this same idea. And I just want to notice, I believe that Resurrection Day involves both the Church of Jesus Christ, the believers in Jesus Christ, the universal church, and the reprobate at the same time. I believe that the good and the evil are all raised at the same time. I don't think there's this giant gap of years that between the two. And it seems the language of Jesus is, it's at the same time. The language of Daniel chapter 12, it's at the same time. The language of the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 10, he says, when Christ comes with flaming fire, judgment, when he comes as judge, it'll be the same time where he's glorified in his saints. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 10. Read that passage and see if they're not the same time. Not everyone in Christianity believes in the resurrection happening together at one time. But I think that is the best description of it scripturally, and I just share that with you. Jesus and God is the life that spares us from judgment. We could say, it's Jesus that saves me. Or you could say, it's God that saves me. Why? Because they're the same. They are equal. And that's the whole passage of Scripture today. Oh, glory to God. He is the resurrection and the life. Oh, he is a judge. And if I was outside of Christ, that would give me pause, I suppose. Well, I don't know if it would give me pause or not. I probably wouldn't believe it, just like these people didn't believe it. But Jesus is predicting ahead of time, saying, you know, you may reject me, you may persecute me, you even may put me to death. But the reality is, I belong to God. I am the Messiah. I am not only belonging to God, I am God. And are you in me or out of me? Because to be out of me is to be out of life. I am the life. I am the way. I am salvation. I am God. Let us give Jesus his due. Who is Christ? He is God. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the Judge. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the bread of life. He is God on the face of the earth. Let us worship him as he really is. And let us rest in his salvation. Let us take assurance in the goodness and mercy of God. May God add his blessing is my prayer.